Stem cell transplants have been used to cure thousands of patients from things like deadly cancers and immune deficiencies, but there are considerations to understand before deciding whether it's the right option to pursue. So, under what circumstances and for what conditions is a stem cell transplant the ideal choice? Today, we'll learn more about it with Dr. Leslie Lehman, Medical Director for International Hematology, Oncology, and Bone Marrow Transplants at Boston Children's Hospital, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, and Associate Director of the Pediatric Stem Cell Transplant Center at Dana-Farber Boston Children's Cancer and Blood Disorder Center. This is the second episode in a five-part series from Boston Children's Hospital about stem cell transplants, where a Boston Children's expert brings you answers. I'm your host, Prakash Chandran. Dr. Lehman, thank you so much again for joining us. I wanted to start by asking, what are the conditions that stem cell transplants can be used to treat?
So ever-growing, which is good to know. So if you ever have a question, you can reach out. We tend to think about it, the first maybe division point, as malignant and benign. And so stem cell transplants historically has been used for leukemias. And I'm going to talk mostly now about allogeneic stem cell transplants, where you have a donor and you're taking their blood stem cells and replacing the blood stem cells of the patient with these new healthy stem cells. And so lots of malignant conditions, the most common of which are acute myeloid leukemia and acute lymphoid leukemia, particularly in children. And some of those conditions can be cured with chemotherapy alone. But if you're going off track, if you're not sort of, we call, meeting your milestones, if the remission that you get isn't soon enough or isn't deep enough, or you don't go into remission with regular chemotherapy, then the next thing that people think about is stem cell transplantation for those diseases. And that it has been shown in multiple studies that it really can positively impact the outcome for children that in failed traditional chemotherapy. We always say they didn't fail the chemotherapy failed them. But regardless, if they're not doing well with traditional chemotherapy, that then we would move on to stem cell transplantation. So that's one big group. Another big group is the immunodeficiency diseases, where your immune system just isn't making the cells that keep you safe from the world. And, you know, the world seems safe, but it's filled with bacteria and fungi and viruses, and people have different defects in their immune system where they're not able to fight these off. Many of these present as a baby, and you have too many infections. And so then people do fancy tests and figure out if you actually have an immune deficiency. And then transplant is a virtually perfect cure for those diseases, because you're in those blood stem cells are the precursors of the immune system. And so you're giving somebody an absolutely normal immune system and getting rid of their defective immune system. So it's been a very useful approach to many immunodeficiencies, new ones of which are being defined each year. Then if you're making defective blood products, like in sickle cell disease or thalassemia, where you're not making red cells at all, or you're making red cells that are broken, then it can replace the red cells. If you're not making correct white cells in a disease like chronic granulomatous disease, you can replace the white cells. And then the sort of weird thing where you may not think about transplant, your blood stem cell transplant, where it's always good to reach out to transplant referral centers like we have at Boston Children's Hospital and say, is this a disease that I can use? Is this a disease for which transplant would be useful for my patient or for my child, depending who's calling? And those are sort of enzyme disorder diseases where we can take the marrow, it makes a missing enzyme in Hurler's disease, Hunter's disease, adrenoleukodystrophy, and then you put in the new marrow. Even though the marrow was working okay in the patient, you're using that marrow to get an enzyme that was missing, and it will replace the enzyme that the child needed. So lots of different conditions that are growing all the time.
Yeah, it's fascinating the amount of conditions that it covers. One thing I wanted to understand a little bit more is when exactly a patient or a doctor should consider a stem cell transplant. You know, you talked about leukemia when traditional therapy has failed the patient, but maybe expand on that a little bit more, and also talk about considerations for when someone has an immune deficiency.
Great question. So I'll do them in a little bit different order, I think. So immune deficiencies, whenever you have figured out that your child or your patient has an immune deficiency, you should reach out to a transplant center and see if that, and your immunologist, and see, is that immune deficiency significant enough and going to impact the patient's quality of life and ability to fight off different infections enough that transplant would be considered. You know, some immune deficiencies, like the traditional bubble baby, which is called common severe combined immunodeficiency, you absolutely have to have a transplant. You can't live in the world with the immune system that you have. Other diseases diseases are more nuanced. You're missing part of your immune system. Your immune system is okay, but not quite as perfect as it should be. And then sometimes supportive care like antibiotics is enough, and you wouldn't have to take a transplant, which, as we can talk about later, is an intensive and in some ways risky procedure. So you want to make sure that you're offering more than you're putting a child at risk. And that's a decision that the professionals obviously make, talking to you if you're a referring physician or to you as a parent or family. For the leukemias, it's basically your oncology doctor that manages leukemias would look and say, we know from the literature that at this point in therapy, after a month of chemotherapy, you should have only this much leukemia detectable in you. And it changes. We're still learning as we go. And if you have more than that bar, we call them, milestones. If you haven't met that milestone, you haven't gotten rid of enough leukemia that studies have shown us you need to get rid of by this period of time, your risk of the leukemia coming back becomes very high. And then transplant would definitely be an option that would be considered. And I want to say, as part of this as well, many of the listeners, I hope, have heard of immunotherapy or CAR T-cell therapy. So that isn't really a transplant, but it's given by transplant programs regulatorily. And so sometimes it's a full transplant, and sometimes it's just T lymphocytes that are modified that can fight the leukemia as well. And so reaching out and saying, this is where my patient is, this much leukemia went away, but this much is still left. What do you think? Is transplant an option? Would CAR T-cell therapy be an option? We always love getting those inquiries, and we work closely. Physicians always work as a partner with other people. And so in that case, we would work with our oncology colleagues and say, this is where the child is, and this is where we thought they should be. Do we think that transplant would be indicated? And then we come up with a group recommendation based on that. The red cell disorders are maybe the trickiest, and because we'll take sickle cell disease. You have broken red cells, and they're rigid and sickled, which like the shape of a sickle, a U shape, and they hurt the blood vessels going through. They sort of scrape along the sides of the blood vessels, and that causes pain, and it can cause not enough good blood and good oxygen to get to different organs and cause long-term organ dysfunction. But it takes years for that to accrue, and so from one day to the next, you're not that much sicker. And so whether use supportive care methods like pain medicines. There's new medicines coming out that can help the cells be not quite so sticky, and other approaches, or whether you take on an actual transplant, those recommendations change year by year. And here I will also add that there are new ways to do transplant for these kinds of diseases like sickle cell, which we call gene therapy, which is a kind of transplant where we take the patient's own blood stem cells out, fix them, insert something that makes them better, and then put them back into the same patient again, so we don't have to worry about having a donor. And that technology was really, a lot of that work came from Boston Children's Hospital and has been published from our hospital. And that's even hopefully safer way to do the transplant. So that's a long way of saying it's a complicated decision. And I think of transplant, it's what we say often about, if something crosses your mind, you should do it, right? So if you're like, this is a hard situation, transplant maybe would be something. We're always happy to have that conversation with you, and it doesn't commit you to going through with the transplant, of course.
Yeah, it sounds like there are so many different factors to consider. I suppose related to that, are there ever reasons why a doctor might decide that a referral for a stem cell transplantation is not the right option for a patient?
So I think a referral for the conversation is always the best option if it's a disease that can be treated, which is different than saying you're going to go through with transplant. And transplant is a multi-step process and takes a long time to set in place. And so for example, a perfect scenario, maybe this may be a better way to answer the question is, you have a child who's 10, they have sickle cell disease, they've been taking the supportive care medicines, they're doing pretty well, but they've had a recent pneumonia, or the parent has read something about gene therapy, and then they're like, well, what about a transplant? And then you would send the patient, we would have the discussion and say, you don't have a matched sibling donor, which is the safest. Unrelated donors can be risky in sickle cell disease. Gene therapy is a research trial. You may or may not wish to partake in this research trial. And then we always call back the referring physician after our meeting, or if they can, invite them to call into the meetings or come to the meetings if they, geography permits, and say, so, this is the reasons that we think transplant would perhaps be a good option for this patient, but they're thinking about it, or we think transplant is riskier than this patient needs at this particular time in their course, but we're here, and if over the next 2 years something changes, come on back. And many families with non-malignant diseases for transplant, we meet with over a period of 3 or 4 years while we're deciding that transplant is or isn't the right approach at this given time in their course.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway there is it is always a good idea to at least have the conversation so you can really evaluate all those factors. Dr. Lehman, just before we close here today, is there anything else you wanted to share with our audience regarding referring patients for stem cell transplantation?
No, that we're just so happy to have the referrals. The beginning referrals, you know, the child often doesn't come. So parents can come alone, or we can have phone calls with referring physicians or meet with referring physicians, whatever, and just lay out, this is what transplant can offer. These are the risks of transplant. Go home, think about it, you know, say, let it rattle around in your brain and see whether this feels, you know, we make a recommendation about the risks and the benefits, and then does this feel like a right path for you? And that's particularly in the benign diseases. In the malignant diseases, sometimes transplant is the only possible way that we could offer cure, and that makes it more compelling, although still something that a family could decide not to do. But in a way, those are slightly easier situations, benign, non-cancerous diseases where transplant has a lot to offer, but also has some risks.
Well, Dr. Lehman, thank you so much for this truly informative conversation.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to part 2 of our stem cell transplant series from Boston Children's Hospital. For more information about the Dana-Farber Boston Children's Stem Cell Transplant Program, U.S. patients and referring providers can call 617-632-3961 or email ped_sct@dfci.harvard.edu. For international patients and referring providers, you can call 1-617-632-2952 or email ped_international@dfci.harvard.edu. Thanks again for listening. My name is Prakash Chandran, and we'll talk next time.